We'll read to you today, not what is listed. You know, I started this sermon series, Don't Let Satan Get a Foothold, and I really enjoyed it for 4 out of 4 Sundays. And this fifth one just didn't come together quite like I wanted it to. So I've changed it, and some of you have heard a little bit of this yesterday. But to Matthew 27 and verses 39 through 46. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27 and 39 through 46. This is as Jesus is on the cross. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From the sixth hour," which is noon, "until the ninth hour," which is around 3 o'clock, "darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Now, it's interesting to note how close people could be to Jesus here, where Jesus could hear, the disciples could hear the insults. And don't think that what they are saying when they said, "For he said, 'I am the Son of God,'" they weren't proclaiming him when they're hurling this at him as something that they believed in, but it was something that they called on him as the accusation of blasphemy, that he was calling himself God. These folks, men and women, who are free divers. Now, free diving doesn't mean that it doesn't cost them anything. It's just what they do. They don't have scuba gear on or anything like that. And so they're known as free divers. And so they dive straight down, whether it's in a large lake or the ocean, and they just dive straight down. There's a big rope with a heavy weight on it, and sometimes there's points that they are able to determine how deep they are going. Do you know how deep they go? More than 2 football fields in length. Deep down, straight down on one breath. The weight is crushing their lungs and their body. And they're not able to breathe. Sometimes people don't come up in time, and they have perished, they have died in doing so, because they went down too far for their body's capabilities. Now, I can imagine swimming the length of a pool and trying to hold my breath as I go underwater. But there's always that realization that, hey, I can quickly just if I give out a breath enough, come right up and go, and have my next breath, and I'll be okay. Now imagine that's 2 football lengths long. I mean, who can hold their breath that long and swim that far and then come back with your head underwater? We're not going to, are we? And when we do, we can come up and get breath. But that wasn't so for the free divers. If they're down, they can only come up once they have come back to the surface from that great depth. There are mountains in this world that are very high, and it's hard for people to ascend to those mountains. And there are people who try every year, and some successful and some not. But even as great and high those mountains are, there are depths in the ocean that are even far greater than those high mountains. Places where few fish even exist, or if there's no light, or whatever light is a luminescence from the fish itself. Barely anything exists is far beyond the depth of what the divers can dive down, way, way farther than what the divers can go down to. All right, I'm going to try something with y'all today. We're going to sing a song called Deep and Wide. Yeah. You know the song, don't you, Maya? All right, everybody show me your deep. This is how the song goes. Y'all know this, right? I don't care how old you are. You're going to sing this song. And then this is your wide. And this is a fountain flowing deep and wide, right? See, even Jody up there is doing it at the sound system. So y'all can do this. All right, ready? We're going to sing. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. All right, Lily, since you were baptized today, you get to decide, do we go faster or slower? What is it? Faster, she says. So now we're going to go faster. So you got to keep up when we get your deep out there. Ready? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Woo! Sutton, you were doing such a good job with that. Faster or slower?
Faster.
Faster still? Okay. All right, let's go faster. Here we go. Ready? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Whoa. Beside Mason, what's your name? Chet. Faster or slower?
Slower.
All right, we're going to go slower. This is, you got to do it a little bit. And y'all know how to get your voice down lower? Because it's a little slower, okay? Ready? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Alex? Faster or slower? I distinctly heard him say faster. All right, let's go. Ready? This is super duper duper fast. Ready? Everybody got there? Got to get it real close together. Ready? Done. No, I'm just kidding. All right, we'll finish it. We'll finish. Ready? Deep and wide, this fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, this fountain flowing deep and wide. Good job. Why do we sing that song? Why do we sing that song? What does it mean? Deep is God's mercy. Wide is His grace and love. Deep and wide is God's grace, mercy, and love. We sing it because we believe that God's grace, His mercy, and His love is deeper than any of our sin. You see, some people believe in this world. You may even know some of these folks. You might be one of them. I hope you're not. If you are, I hope I change your mind today. But there are some people who believe that their sin is so great, that their life, their past, their history, their whatever is so great that God can't forgive them. That they can't be renewed. That they can't be transformed and changed. That their sin is just so great that it's just not, they're just not able to do so. I believe otherwise. And the scriptures tell us differently, doesn't it? When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't something temporary. It wasn't something that was just halfway done or partway done. It has meant that the depth of the sins of this world and of every individual, that God's grace and depth can go far beyond, not just a little bit beyond, but far beyond, and covers all of our sin. And sin is grave, isn't it? That's why grace needs to be so deep. The love of God needs to be so wide, because sin is indeed grave. Just think, in the 20th century alone, over 100 million people were killed as a result of wars. I'm not talking about necessarily the soldiers so much themselves. As far as all of the people, children, the elderly, everyone in between, 6 million Jews went to the gas chambers and were executed. 20 million such that Stalin himself sought to execute people who were professors or religious leaders. Throughout the world, and not just World War II, but World War I, through great famines that took place because of the government's greed, and so on and so forth. All of these evils and this sin took place. And that's just one century, folks. What's in store for our century today? And what about all those centuries before? Nothing new is under the sun. God's grace is sufficient to cover them all. But we must do one thing, and that is repent. Repent of our sin and trust that God has covered our sin and forgiven us. That's it. That's how simple it is. God's grace on the cross, His love, His mercy, all of that on the cross is sufficient to cover the gravest of sin. It's kind of like a baseball player hitting a home run and rounding the bases. He's won the game, and as he rounds the bases, he gets to football before the home plate and his run that would win the game, and he just stops and turns to the right, and it's never counted. See, Jesus didn't go part way with us. He went sufficient and perfectly all the way for us. He didn't abandon us, but He took the place of abandonment on the cross. And that's why He says, to fulfill Scripture, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" to be left alone. And this is fulfillment of Scripture in Psalm 22, where King David writes in the very first verse these same words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it goes on to describe the events that would take place on the cross, that they hurled insults at him. And other things that describe the witness of the cross that would take place on that day. Jesus endured the abandonment of sin. Folks, sin is separation from God. We think of it in terms of what we say or do or act. That's not sin, folks. Those are just the reactions that take place because we have separated ourselves from God. And so we act out in ways that are unrighteous and unholy, that are hurtful and harmful, because we have separated ourselves from the love of God. That's true sin, you see. And the direct result and curse of sin is death. I learned of this of a woman in Ringgold when we lived up that direction. I didn't know this person. It was just announced in the news and in the paper. But a woman one time took her child to the playground, and she placed her infant to toddler age in one of those swings that, you know, for the little kids you place your feet in, and it's a seat that keeps them, holds them in, and you can push them and let them swing. They don't have to hold on to anything. She left her child there. I don't know what was going on in her mind or her heart. I don't know her. Maybe it was because she just felt like she couldn't handle it anymore, the stresses or whatever, or that couldn't financially take care of the child and was hoping someone would come by and take the child. But for whatever reason, that seems unconscionable to us, she left her child there in a morning, a cold day, and went home. You can only imagine what the child was going through. Maybe he didn't understand, but was going through a difficulty at that time. Somebody noticed the child and then called authorities, but an hour or two may have already gone by. You see, the cross is just this. God could not abandon you and me to sin and death. And so he gave his life to endure the curse of sin and death, and what truly would be the separation of God and man that we had brought forth. God said, I'll do it. I'll be that sacrifice. You see, in the Old Testament, it's important to know here that the timing that takes place is important. Jesus dies on the cross at the time of the Passover. The people gathered together once a year for. That Passover represented in Moses' day, many years before, some hundreds and hundreds of years prior, that the Egyptian people were enslaved, the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt for some 400 years, and God called Moses to free his people. And Moses, through the instruction of God, spoke to the Pharaoh and said, let my people go or a plague will come upon you. 10 plagues. Remember those? Gnats, blood in the water, locusts, Go on.
Frogs.
We don't have to name them all. But 9 of them failed. Failed. And then the last one worked. What was that one? The firstborn child of every household would die. Was the plague. But in this plague, something different was set forth. If you take the lamb's blood from an unblemished lamb, perfect, hear that, and you place it upon the doorpost, whether you're Egyptian or Jewish, it didn't matter. If you did that as instructed by God, what happened? No firstborn son in that house perished or died. But if it was not placed there, that firstborn son, Egyptian or Jewish, died. You see here, this is the appointed time, Passover. Who is the Lamb? Jesus, without blemish. It is His blood that we place upon the doorpost of our heart that covers us so that we do not perish. But guess what? There is a death still, isn't there? Except it's God's death on the cross in Jesus Christ, His Son. And to have authority to do so, we celebrate He is risen from the grave and has power over sin and death to claim what He has truly done for you and me. See, this is how deep God's love is. He went and placed Himself in our place to take on sin and death and cover every sin. The cross is ugly, folks. The pain of which is ugly. I remember watching taking the church group to see The Passion of the Christ. You remember Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ? How many of you have seen that before? See it sometime. Prepare yourself to see it sometime. Girls, y'all listen. Y'all listen. I recall taking a church group there, and as we were waiting in line, several of us were talking and everything, and then they let out the group that was just seeing the movie, and it got quiet. You know how people talk when they come out of a movie, and they talk about that one line that was great or that scene that was great, and they talk about where they're going to go out to dinner and things like that. That wasn't happening. You could see in their faces and in their eyes that something had moved them. The Spirit of God was there. I don't know if it took place exactly. There's no way for us to know exactly how the crucifixion of Jesus took place. We only see from what we hear in Scripture, but an interpretation of it to kind of see what may have happened and how it may have happened. You see, there were tears of people flowing, and everybody that was waiting in line got quiet. It seemed as if a holy moment was taking place. And you could just see in their eyes transformation and the holiness of seeing that film, The Passion of the Christ. Were they moved because they'd seen the grotesqueness of the cross? the violence of it? No. That's not why they were moved. We see all kinds of grotesque things this day, don't we? You just turn on the TV to see horrors. You can watch film that show horrific things. You can play video games and see horrific things. There's all kinds of horrific things that happen in this world that kind of numb us to those type of things. And then those who truly experience them in violent acts or in war or things like that. That wasn't what moved them. What moved them is this. God chose that. Think about it. He could have gone somewhere else. He didn't have to be here at this appointed time. He could have done something completely different, but he chose the cross. He chose to endure all of that just for you, because you are his children. A woman who I knew very early in my ministry, a very saintly lady, she had two children. They were raised in the church. They served in the church. They grew up. They were part of other churches, but they were very faithful. Their own children were going to church and involved in the church. They had status in the community. They had done well for themselves. And in one of my visits to this lady, she said to me, "John, you don't know this, but I have another child. I have a son." And then she was going to share with me. And she said, 20 years ago, and this lady's long since been departed. She said, 20 years ago, my son came to me and said that he hated me, didn't like anything about it, me or the family or anything, didn't want to have anything to do with us anymore. And he was going to leave and never come back. Said, 20 years has gone by. I don't know if he's alive or dead. I don't know where he is or how to contact him. I don't know these things. I don't know how. And you could just see, I could just see the pain that was in her heart in sharing this with me. What do you think she would have given for her son to return, and that she could embrace him and hug him and they be reunited and there not be any separation? What would she have given? That's why God's love is so deep, and his grace and mercy are so wide, because you are his children. And there are a lot of lost people in this world, and he's died for them, for everyone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you did not leave us to perish alone, but that you chose to reunite us with you through the cross by going through it all for us. Heavenly Father, this day, we proclaim once again in our heart, we choose you and your love, and we choose to love you back, and we choose to accept that your grace has covered immensely our sin, that in your eyes you can see nor hear of our sin anymore. May your blessings be upon your children this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.